For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content, like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This episode was recorded on February 15, 2024. We are back with Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3. If you don't know what SDS9 is, it's Southpaw's complete SDS9 watch-along show, where we watch every episode, recap it, and analyze it. We are your hosts, Scott, and me, Sam. Scott is someone who's watched DS9 more than once, whereas I'm someone who's casually watched some episodes when it first aired, but this is my first time watching each episode in earnest. One of the cool things is this also gives us different perspectives. After we watch each episode, we come together and talk about it. We are discussing episode 24, Shakar. Scott, can you tell us about this episode?
Yes. We're at Deep Space Nine. Miles is killing at darts and he's beating Jake Sisko. When Sisko gets a provisional message from the Bajaran government. And we also see that Kira is praying. Jake comes to see Kira as she prays for Baral, her ex who passed away. And the first minister of the provisional Bajaran government, Calum Apron, has died in their sleep. And this is the government that has begun since the Cardassian occupation, for which Deep Space Nine exists. And they have appointed Kai Winn, who is the religious leader of Bajor, as the provisional minister. And there will be an election. Odo and Kira talk the stupidities of this, and Odo notices that Kira is distracted. She is only just getting used to Kai Winn as a religious leader, and is surprised that she could be potentially a leader of politics for 6 years, and also blames her for Baral's death, and does not believe in the mixing of church and state, believes it's a bad idea, and that given this, Wynn will never give away this power. But in the populace eyes, she is the body of peace. And that freedom of choice means people can make the supposedly wrong decisions. And Kira makes more prayers. As Kai Winn visits Kira and makes passive-aggressive notes of Kira's grift and notices that Winn has kind of given Brown no credit in the Cardassia piece, even though he's like totally the reason for it. See previous episodes. And she's trying to turn Rakantha, a barren land, as through science and these sort of like replicators can be made fertile in 6 months. But farmers in another province won't give away the science toys the replicators are doing. And that is by Shakar, the leader of Kirasel. He won't give them away. And Kaiwin asks that Kira get it back, and that Shakar is selfish, and that Kira says that he's selfless. So she agrees to talk with him, and Wynn uses Burrell as guilt. The actress who plays Wynn is just brilliant in this. On Bajor, Kira is beyond happy to see Shakar, and Shakar has basically quit Revolution to be a farmer, and we know the connections of Revolution and agriculture. And Shakar needs time to think about giving away the replicator. Again, this is the way that people can eat. At Quark's, Jadzia and Miles are playing darts. Miles has a hot hand and has won 47 straight games. And even though he wants to go kayaking on the holodeck holosuites, Quark wants him to continue because it's good for business and people are betting against him and Miles is confident. On Bajor, Kira, Shakar, some other friends, they swap stories of the resistance, and they don't want to return the replicator. Kira urges Shakar to consider the future of Bajor, and Shakar explains he only had the replicators for a short time.
Wait. Sorry, Scott. They're not replicators. They're reclamators. That's a huge difference to how we should understand this episode. Replicators would completely change the stakes of this episode.
Reclamators. So Shakar has only had the reclamators for a short time, and it's not enough time to give them back the land they need that everyone is desperate for. The Cardassian occupation has really taken away their ability to make food. And Kira explains that the Rakantha project will help, but Shakar insists they need to eat. Kira suggests that he talk to Wynn for a compromise, and although reticent, he agrees as a favor to Kira. Kira tells Wynn, look, Shakar needs 6 months. This is not enough for Wynn. Rakantha needs this. Kira pleads for them all to meet. Wynn says Shakar is stubborn. But again, people are starving. Kira is sent back to Deep Space Nine. Kira begs Shakar to be flexible, but he is arrested by Kai Wynn, but Shakar fights back and Kira fights back. And Shakar asks Kira to go home to Deep Space Nine and not be involved in this, but she will not. And basically Wynn puts an APB for Kira and Shakar, and creates like these militia groups and these authorities that are hunting for the reclamators and arresting resistances and claiming them as basically like terrorists. But at the same time, so far, they've stopped bloodshed. But Shakar keeps calling to move up to Hill Country to sort of have like the high ground. Back on Deep Space Nine, Miles continues this hot streak, and then all of a sudden, his shoulder tears up and has to go to the infirmary facing forfeit. He accepts defeat. His hot hand and hot streak is over. Wynn meets with Sisko and asks him to stop the beef between the Bajoran Popo and the rebels. The Defiance is making her look bad, and she has basically created martial law and is using brute force and is just not doing right. And she says, hey, can the Federation, you know, be like Bajoran's NATO police to get Shakar? But this is basically prohibited by Federation law to interfere in these sort of things. So Sisko points out this is creating a civil war and that Wynn is overreacting. And Wynn says, through the prophets, she is being challenged to Shakar by any means necessary to stop him, even if it means killing Bajorans and instilling fear and breaking law, and is willing to take away their initiative to join the Federation if the Federation won't help. She's just like focused in a bad way. In the mountains, the fight between, you know, the farmer squad and the Bajoran militias is getting rugged, and Shakar's team is ready to fight and stop running. And Kira and Shakar note that they might have to fight the Wynn-led militia, but as the standoff begins, Kira recognizes comrades from the resistance, and she doesn't want to fight them. And both Shakar and Kira realize that they can't do it. They won't kill Bajorans. So they go to meet. And at the meeting, Shakar asks to just leave with his people. A firefight almost ensues, but they cease fire. And Kira asks them to stop. None of them want to go from fighting Cardassians to fighting each other. And then Shakar shows up to the Bajoran embassy to explain he will run for minister against Wynn. And he is going to win because this whole thing is bad and people love him. And Wynn can stay Kai, you know, the leader of the Bajoran religion, but is highly suggested to leave politics and that she won't win an election. Back in Quarks, Miles is no longer good at darts right now. It was good while it lasted. With his new shoulder, though, kayaking seems feasible. And now Bashir is good with the darts. Sisko meets with Kira, and that they agree that things are good again. And Kira prays.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighter's Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighter's Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. So a lot of what you mentioned in the outset of the last episode, family business, comes up again here. It's actually a nice pairing. And what you said in the beginning of the last episode was that this is a post-scarcity world. And we have to keep that in mind in this episode and this conversation. And there's a lot of granular context to discuss here. In the last episode, we also talked about how the Ferengi don't really care about status, whereas for many in the Star Trek verse, status is important. And Kai Wynn explicitly mentioned how important the status of joining the Federation is for Bajor, how she's doing all this to eventually join the Federation. And you can't just join. You have to prepare for it. And the preparations very closely resembles all the things a company has to do to go IPO. So IPO means to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. And going IPO means a lot of fuckery. Joining the Federation reminds me a lot of going IPO. Think about all the fuckery you have to do to become a US ally or to join NATO, which goes back to, you know, expecting the Federation to act like NATO. They're all similar processes because how you do one thing is how you do all things. For people who follow liberation martial arts, they know that's a key concept within our program. Getting recognized as one of the quote unquote big boys means you got to do things the big boys do. To get a seat at the table, you got to do things to get that seat at the table, which reminds me also a lot of Ishka in the last episode. I know this episode isn't necessarily making this argument, but from a political economy perspective, joining the Federation incentivizes planets to do whatever it takes at all costs to get a seat at the table. The terms for this in economics is perverse incentives. Basically, knowingly or unwittingly incentivizing poor behavior. Scott, since you work in healthcare, and I know this is something you've mentioned a lot before, do you have thoughts about incentives and how that affects care?
Incentives are everything. Cost-benefit analysis.
That term itself is so gross.
I know. But like, am I going to do radiation if I'm not going to get better? Am I going to take this medicine that's going to make me sick if there's only margins, especially if this medicine is maybe not covered by my insurance and costs $60 a piece? Or like, hey, can I bring you a Subway sandwich to get you to talk to this psych nurse, you know? So incentives is everything. And that's also the lie of capitalism, that people do things based off incentives.
The thing about incentives is that even if you're not incentivized to do the right thing or give people proper care, you think about the care that people on Medicaid get versus people on PPO. You think about unhoused people when they go to the hospital versus people who are rich. I just look at pregnancies and delivery, and you could pay extra and rent better rooms for recovery. There's so much that goes into it. And the thing is people are indoctrinated in the system. So none of us are acting naturally the way we really would. So even if people judge how people behave, it's because you've put us in an unnatural environment and you've been indoctrinating us in this unnatural environment. So of course we're acting unnaturally. Capitalism is not natural. Capitalism is not a fixture of the universe. The premises of this episode made me think of Eminent Domain, where Bajor is just acting like the US, one of the big boys, one of the good guys. The Federation does stuff like this also, enforcing the rules-based order. I remember this happened with the Federation, with Kira, I think, and was it season one? Again, she was in the same position as Reformer, trying to deal with some quote-unquote unruly Bajorans, trying to take their land, or yeah, it had to do with trying to take their land, and she ended up burning the dude's house down. So, you know, the Federation did this also. But since this is the future, and specifically the space communist future of Star Trek, where there is no scarcity and there's replicators, and I talked about this a lot during season one, the justification of quote unquote just trying to feed people doesn't have the same muscle it does for us here in the real world and it does today. Fighting over resources and material conditions isn't the same. It doesn't mean you can't have conflict, but it would express itself differently. So because it's more over principles rather than material conditions, it came off to my eyes today more like a libertarian fight than a liberatory fight. It definitely didn't feel like a metaphor for indigenous resistance.
No.
With that said, that doesn't mean this isn't a fight to be had, even if it is libertarian, if the authority is being oppressive. Scott, what did you think about the political fight and with it ending on the note of we'll vote our way out of oppression, which is actually how it ended?
I didn't feel good about it.
Kai Wynn declared martial law. She wants to control everybody's behavior. She's kind of like the ultimate top-down, like school teachers, like everybody behave and why are you fidgeting in your chair? You know, Why aren't you praying?
Yeah, she just wants power. The psychology of Kai Winn will come into play later.
Another point of this episode was the darts and O'Brien's hot streak. Have you ever experienced the hot hand in anything?
No. Never in my life. I mean, I've had some nights in jiu-jitsu where I didn't lose, but I wouldn't call it hot. And like, I had a couple lucky Magic the Gathering nights, but again, like, it's not something I really relate to.
What about gambling? Have you ever gambled and had a hot streak?
I one time went to Atlantic City and made a bunch of money, and I one time went to Atlantic City and lost a bunch of money.
So it was a wash.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say, right? Because we often hear about hot hands or hot streaks when it's brought up, right? Like the way it's written here, you know, it's almost like something we should all be able to relate to. But I feel like we've related to it more often, like vicariously, by watching athletes or other people have hot hands. But yeah, like I really wonder how many people have ever experienced that. And that's why I wanted to ask you, just that, again, going back to political economy, like numbers kind of things interests me. And I feel like most people have probably never experienced it. Here's what I will say, though. I have definitely experienced the cold streak where I kept fucking up over and over and over. I kept losing at something over and over and over. So I will say this. Not everybody's experienced hot hands, but I feel like most of us have experienced cold hands. And maybe this goes back to the theme of the whole episode. Capitalism is built in a way, and not just capitalism, this whole kind of like settler colonial project and the suppressive world order is built in a way where you don't have that many times where you feel a hot hand, but you definitely have a lot of times where you feel penalized or you've like lost a bunch in a row. You've had cold hands.
Absolutely.
Now, Scott, please tell us about the next episode.
Yes. Not a lot, but Facets. We'll get a little Dax episode.
Okay. Until then. If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.